Let's just pray. Father, we bless you today. We thank you for your loving kindness, your tender mercies. It is you that have called us out of darkness, out of isolation, out of intimidation, out of humiliation, into your marvelous light. Thank you for your salvation, for your so great salvation. Thank you for saving us. God, we ask you to bless this word as we glean into your word today. God, cleanse us right now as we hear your word. Let it be uplifting. Let it be encouraging. Let it stir the hearts of your people. And let it be encouraging to the pastors. I pray that the pastors, as they hear this word, that they'll be encouraged and that they'll go a little bit further in their life journey as they minister the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We heard the other week, I'm not sure if it was Pastor Andrew or somebody had mentioned about how many pastors, I think it was Dr. Everett Kelly, who was at a meeting, and he had mentioned the number of pastors every week, not just every month, that are dropping out of ministry. And I understand that. I'm not judging anybody. It is not easy, especially now during COVID. It is not easy. People have stopped giving their tithes. They stopped giving their offering. They don't realize the expense that has to still take place, even if the church is not open. You got to pay insurance. You got to pay so many other things that have to take place. If you have a food pantry like we do, we still got to pay the expense for the food pantry. I got to rent a truck. Every month, there's a truck over $100-something. Every month. So other ministries who are doing it every week, and if they're not getting consistent tithes and offering, that's a pressure on them. Because what's happening, then they become the ones who are financing the church, giving their money, and then all of a sudden their money runs out, and then what are we gonna do? Then they bail out, say, I gotta go get a job, sweeping the street, cleaning up, driving an Uber, and there's nothing wrong with those things, but they gotta go get a real job, a job that's now paying some money that they can move forward. And so many pastors today, I wanna encourage you, you've been discouraged. You've been disappointed. You've been hurt, but I'm here to encourage you today that you can go forward. You don't have to be in that position. God is going to give you what you need. And that's why we're here today, to minister to your needs and let you know that God is going to give you everything you need. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, 1 Timothy 5, 17, as we celebrate pastors, clergy or appreciation month, the scripture says in 1 Timothy 5, 17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Let the elders, episkopos, that's the word episkopos. That word can be, that's the Greek word, but it can be translated as pastors, apostles, evangelists, pastor, teachers, bishop, episkopos. And so let those offices, let those who function in those offices, the Bible says, that rule well. Now, I don't know if I rule well or not. That's up to the members of Agat Church. That rule well, the Bible says, be counted what? Worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Now, you have some people who are elders. And see, the distinction is there. I want you to understand the distinction. I've never seen it. I just saw it. I just saw this. He said, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. So distinction here is that there are some elders who don't minister in the word and doctrine, but they minister in finance. They minister in other areas. I'm a bishop in the Living Jesus Common Fellowship of Churches. I'm a bishop.
Right.
I'm not over churches as a ruling bishop over churches. I'm a bishop in the area of responsibility as a executive member and also as a trustee. So my bishopric is not over churches in particular, at this time. That could change any day, any moment, but my particular responsibility in the association, the fellowship of churches, is to deal with the treasury, the trustee, money's coming in, money's going out, paying expense. That's part of my responsibility. But the other part of my responsibility as a pastor is to minister the word of God in word and in doctrine. So the Bible says those who minister the word, who labor in the word and doctrine, should be counted as double honor. And so pastors out there, some of you may have not been blessed with double honor, but I bless you today. I bless you with double honor of blessings, untold finances. It's not just finances, encouragement. I bless you with love. I bless you with grace. I bless you with understanding and compassion. I bless you. Missionaries over in foreign countries, Rhodesia and Pakistan, who are listening to me right now. I bless you. And you may not be a missionary, but maybe you are a citizen over in Pakistan and you're struggling because of the politics and maybe because of religious concerns. But I bless you to continue in the faith over in India. I bless you. Indonesia, I bless you. China, Asia, Africa, I bless you. Many are going through persecution right now, pastors, ministers, some being killed and martyred right now. I bless you. The Bible says, let them that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Especially they who what? Labor in the word and doctrine. Well, I like to, Lysha, if you bring up my notes, I always share my notes with you because sometimes people who are listening to this program, the service, don't have opportunity to write it down. So I want you to be able to see it and also to recognize it later on. Move it up to where it says Pastor Shepherd. Just move it up a little bit. Right there is fine. Thank you so much. And so, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. But what is a pastor? Let's look at what is a pastor. A pastor is a shepherd. A shepherd is a man who takes care of the sheep, a person who cares for the and protects the sheep, a spiritual guide, male or female, okay? Friend or companion. I was going to get to that. This describes a natural shepherd's work of protecting, guiding, and feeding the flock. A spiritual shepherd does the same thing, work of protecting, guiding, and feeding God's people. This came from The Making of a Leader, a book by Dr. Frank DiMaggio. I've been using that book about at least over 35 years. Awesome book, teaching book, The Making of a Leader. But in that book, he describes the shepherd, a man who takes care of the sheep. Every time we come on the air, every time we minister in the word, every time we preach and teaching, or even doing our prayer, intercessory prayer, words that we say, Pastor Angie and I, we say, it's to feed the sheep, it's to protect the sheep, it's to guide the sheep. Every once in a while, sometimes the sheep wants to go their way. And I understand that. There's a teaching on that, the sheep and the shepherd. And there's a understanding on how some sheep, they're compliant. Compliant sheep. I mean, they comply with whatever the shepherd tells them. Then there are some that bucks. And I'm not going to all the definitions, but the sheep has to listen to the shepherd because the sheep can get lost. And if you get lost, you may change your numbers. I don't want that pastor calling me. Well, you got lost. And now that you lost, here's the enemy saying, you're open game for me now. And so the shepherd is looking for that sheep to protect them. When I don't hear from you, when I don't see you, I'm saying, what is going on? What is happening? You know, did they get lost? You know, I was looking for somebody, I text somebody the other week and I was getting ready to do, I was communicating to them because we're going to do a program. I hadn't heard from them. So I said, well, I'm going to go to their place of employment to find out where they're at. And days that went by and finally they text me about a week later and they said, I was in the hospital. I didn't know that. Didn't know they were in the hospital. But thank God they called me, let me know, because I was going to go over there and find out where they're at. A shepherd does this. He looks for the sheep, trying to deal with them. Who appoints the shepherd? God and God alone. God is the one who appointed me. God is the one who appointed you, pastors. God is the one who appointed you. God is the one who appointed you. My bishop, the late Bishop James H. Everett, will always tell us, don't matter how many people you have. It don't matter who you're ministering to. When God appoints you, it's for a purpose and it's for a reason. God is the one who appointed us. Samuel, the prophet, anointed David as God instructed him to. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." God had provided a king, not Samuel. And how do we know that? Excuse me. Because Samuel, when he went to find David, he didn't know which one of the brothers that God appointed him to. He thought it was the oldest brother because of tradition. A lot of times we get caught up in tradition. Let me tell you about tradition. Well, my uncle was a preacher. My father was a preacher. My mother was a preacher. My mother was a missionary. And my mother was this. And my father was this. And that's where I'm going to be because they were. Don't always work like that. You got to find out what God called you to do. And so, pastors, you got to know that God called you to this work. You got to know. And I say to the congregation, you got to know that God called your pastors. When God spoke the word to your pastors, he spoke to them to do what he told them to do. Now, let me tell you this. That devil played with my head for a long time. For a long time. And our church folks don't even know. They don't realize. They don't realize. They may think they realize, but they don't realize the implication. I left a job that was paying me a whole lot of money. Good money. I would be making over $120,000 right now. I know that. Right now. Right now. Am I making that now? No. Devil played with my head? Yes. You fool. Why did you leave your job? You should have never done that. You can still do both. Yeah, but I'm not that foolish. I left because I had stressed out trying to do both and almost had a heart attack and almost died. So if I ain't do what God told me to do, I won't be up here preaching right now. And so I had to listen to God. I had to listen what God had to say for me and what God had for me to do. So I left that job. Am I making 120? Nowhere near that. But as a pastor, many of you have left your jobs and left your thing and trust in God. God is going to provide for you. He's going to provide through your people. And let me say this is no way out for our when we say God has provided for you, sometimes the people of God, they get the notion that, oh, he's going to drop a big bag of money. No, God works through people. God works through your membership. God works through your flock. God works through others. Not just God going to provide for you. No, God is going to provide for you, but he's going to speak to somebody to be a blessing to you. I knew of a pastor. He was so faithful to God. He was so, him and his wife, so faithful to God. Somebody came in their church one Sunday morning and said, "Pastor, I want to bless you." And they did it openly. They said, "Pastor, you don't know me, but I want to bless you." They said, and pastor was like, "Well, who is this and what is this all about?" Well, I'll make a long story short. They gave the pastor the keys to a brand new car. Boom. They gave the pastor the keys to that brand new house. Built from the ground. Brand new house. Brand new furniture. Brand new washer and dryer, utilities, everything in that house, fully furnished, brand new. So God provided that way, and he will provide that way. And so it's God who appoints us. And Samuel went and obeyed God and did what God told him to do. Move it up, Lige, to the next one, please. And so what does the pastor do? What is the responsibility of the pastor? Pastor just get up and preach on Sunday morning. Oh, God, God of heaven, come on out, devil. Oh, I know God's going to make a way. Hey, and that's it. And he got you off to the races. That's it. More than that. Pastor have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. Yeah, I have a responsibility to take care and feed the flock of God. But the Bible says my responsibility entails, first of all, Acts 20, verse 28, is to watch over the sheep. Take heed, the Bible says, therefore unto yourselves, to all the flock over which the Lord, the Holy Ghost, hath made you overseer to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Listen. If I lend you my car, I have a Mercedes Benz. I'm just using the imagination. If somebody want to bless me with a Mercedes Benz, I'm at 26 Wallen Street, Teaneck, New Jersey, USA. So you can just bring it right out there. You don't have to say nothing. Just drop the keys right in my mailbox and say, this is for you. And I'll tell you the color Mercedes. Well, give me the Mercedes, but also if I have a choice, you can get me. What's my other car? My other car. Well, I'll take the Mercedes. I won't be picky. I'll take the Mercedes, black, inside, red interior. That'll be fine. Thank you. Appreciate it. But if I give you I lend you my car that somebody just gave me, and I say, take care of it now. Pastor, I just need it. I'm coming right back. Don't bring the car back trashed up, broken down, tires ripped up. I lent you my car. And now it's all this interior seats, brand new, ripped up, food on it, McDonald's, chips, French fries in my car. And all you can say is thank you for letting me hold you. What? Oh, we got a problem now. The Bible says, take heed therefore unto yourselves, to all the flock of God, over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseer. This is, the church is not my church, it's God's church. He lent the church to me. He said to feed them, I lent them to you so you can feed them, which the Bible says, which God purchased with his own blood. So the church, those who are in the church, every member, God purchased you. And he has given me, he's lent you to me to feed you. That's all he has done. Every pastor out there, you are responsible to feed the people of God. And let me say this, the people of God, you're not responsible and you're not in charge to feed the pastor in a sense of telling him, God gave the pastor responsibility to feed you. So it is our responsibility to take heed to the word of God and do what God told us to do. The pastor, part of his responsibility in addition to that, is also, let me just, before I go there, we have to pay bills. Those of you in churches with mortgages, you got to pay a mortgage. You got to take offerings. Some pastors receive or they take offerings. They take or receive offerings. There's a difference. Some receive it. Thank you. We bless you. And some take it. We need more money. We got to have another offering. We got to have three offerings. Okay, another offer for this, another offer for that. We need $5 from everybody. That's taking the offer. But when people are freely giving, it shouldn't be no taking. It should be no problem. Everything is to meet the need. At our local church, we got to pay insurance. We got to pay over $100 every year for the food pantry for just the inspection. To rent a truck every month. Over $100-something every month. Okay, if that's over $100-something every month at the end of a year, that's $1,200 at the end of 1 year for just renting a truck. Okay, travel, when I get in the truck, I gotta fill it up with gas. I gotta bring it up back with gas. And so pastors gotta pay mortgage, $1,800, $2,000, $2,500. Listen, I know pastors who are paying $10,000 a month and more. So the pastor and his organization, they have to make sure those responsibilities are all taken care of. Okay? When everybody else is sleeping, we're up praying all night. Lord God, make a way. We're negotiating with people. We're arranging things. And so B, what does the pastor do? Go on the other side of that pastor, Laisha, excuse me. Laisha, the pastor is responsible to protect the sheep. Move that over just a little bit, Laisha. There you go. Let me fix my screen. Okay, good. Thank you. The pastor is responsible. Move it over just a little bit more. You're missing a few more things over there. There you go, right there. This pastor is responsible to protect the sheep. Psalm 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David is talking, singing a song in reference to the shepherd. His shepherd is God Almighty. And he's talking about how the shepherd has the rod and the staff. Well, the pastor as the shepherd, we have the rod and the staff with the word of God. We have to protect you. Don't go hanging out with that young man. Don't go hanging out with that young lady. And we tell you these things. We give you instruction. And you say, well, I'm grown. The pastor can't tell me what to do. I'm a grown woman. We live in a world. I can do what I want. You don't tell me what to do. Okay, go ahead. God has given us, my wife and I, responsibility. All you pastors out there, don't push back. God has given you responsibility to speak the word to your sheep, whether they receive it or not. You don't have to keep cramming it down the throat. Give it to them. They don't receive it. That's not on you. There's times when I've told people at a church, some of you know, I've told you maybe you shouldn't do that. And you've done it anyway. That's okay. And you say, he did tell me that. Well, you got to deal with what you got to deal with now. And I'm not here to judge you and say, I did not tell you to put my finger on you. No, that's not my responsibility, because there was time when pastors told me things, and guess what? And I'm a pastor, and I didn't listen. Bishop Everett told me things, and times I didn't listen. Guess what? It came right back in my face, and he didn't shove it in my face afterwards. He just loved me, and I learned from that lesson. And so the pastor's there to protect the sheep, and then we hear the guide them. Psalm 23, verse 2 says what? He's making me to lie down in green pasture. He's making me. Sometimes pastors is telling you, just lay down, rest in the Lord. He's leading me beside the still waters. This week, I meant to mention it earlier. Please, Abundant Grace membership, those who want to join us, this week is a week of prayer. I want you to focus on families this week. Pray for families. Pray for families that God will just restore families. Pray for families. That God will heal families. God will give direction to families. God will instruct families. That God will provide for families. Pray for families this week. The Holy Spirit is saying, pray for families like you've never prayed for families. There's so much sons against fathers and fathers against sons and daughters against mothers and mothers against daughters. There's so much discord going on right now. Spiritually, culturally. Discord. Pray for families. The Bible says, the Lord, he maketh me. God wants us just to rest in him. God has to put us into a place sometime where we just lay down and rest. This Wednesday, I'm going to ask you on Wednesday to fast. Not a long fast, but just a focused fast. From 12 midnight, Tuesday night, when you go to bed, before you go to bed, 12 midnight, don't be up getting a midnight snack after 12 o'clock. After 12 o'clock, no eating. You can have liquids, you can have a juice or water, but no eating. Let's stick with water, because if I say that, and some of you got smoothies and all kinds of other things. No smoothies, just stay with water. Yeah, you can have a tea is fine. Okay, not too much sugar, just a tea. But 12 midnight until 12 o'clock, the next noon, 12 o'clock noon. So 12 midnight, you go to bed or you set your clock for 12 midnight, Tuesday night. You wake up at 6 in the morning, it's 9 in the morning, and then 12 noon, no eating. You can drink liquid, but no eating. Now, if you're on a diet, not diet, if you're on a medication, and you got to eat before then, look, you do yourself accordingly. You know what you can do, but you can still fast. I don't mean you can't fast. Maybe you're going to fast from after 12 to 6 in the evening. That's fine. If you're on medication, you got to eat with that medication. You got sugar, and you do what you got to do. But we're going to fast at midnight, Tuesday night, up until 12 noon on Wednesday. Fasting for families. God makes us to lay down. He leads me beside still waters. It's something about still waters. When I go fishing and I see still waters, it's such a peace. And usually when I get still waters, I have to go way in the forest where I fish out in the front where all the waters and a lot of jumping, a lot of trees, a lot of birds and fish jumping up and down, and eagles coming, grabbing, and I see it all. But guess what? But when I go way in the bush, this little, you got to have a little heart to do that, because way in the bush, you don't hear nothing. It's quiet. And the streams are in there, and the waters are still. Maybe once in a while, a fish would jump up and jump back down, because they're spawning during certain times of season. But other than that, on the most part, the water is still. You can think. There's no cars. God wanted to put us in a place where there's still waters, where we can just think and meditate on him and love him and let him love us. And so, pastors, God wants you to get to that place. Get to that place where the waters are still. The Bible says in Psalm 78:53, and he led them on safely so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. God will lead you. God wants us as pastors, as God led the children of Israel through the wilderness, he wants to lead us. Pastors are to lead and guide us. And then pastors are to bring healing to the sheep. I'll bring that up a little bit, Laisha, D, bring that up to the top. Pastors are to bring healing to the sheep. Luke 4, verse 18 says, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Every pastor, I want to let you know, I want to encourage you, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Why? Because he have anointed you to preach the gospel to the poor. Huh? He have sent you to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Minister Ingrid, let me say to you that before your ordination, I sent the paperwork to Bishop, the late Bishop James Everett, to ordain you as a minister, and we call you minister. And so Bishop Everett, in turn, he sends your paperwork back to me. And he says, and on it, it says, Elder Ingrid McGowan Harris. And I said, Bishop Everett, she's a minister. He said, I know what you said. He said to me, I know what you said, but this is what I'm saying. I said, I ain't got no problem with that, Bishop. Because he saw more than what I saw, and he's my presiding. He's my bishop. See, again, he's guiding. He's my shepherd. He's not my chief shepherd, but I'm an under shepherd under. I was under shepherd under the late Bishop James Everett. He says, no, she should be elder. I said, okay, Bishop. There's a difference between elder and minister. We'll get into that another time. But he said, no, elder. I said, okay, Bishop. God has anointed you to minister. And I said that to say, God has anointed you, Minister Ingrid, to minister the spirit of excellence to the poor. Just preach the gospel to the poor, excuse me. He has sent you to heal the brokenhearted. When I say the poor, I'm not talking about those who only got money to eat. No, there's plenty of people who got a whole lot of money, but they're poor. They humble themselves before God, and they need God's word. That's who the people that God wants you to minister to. To heal the brokenhearted, those who are disgusted with life, disgusted with family, disgusted with the church, disgusted with their loved ones, their husband, their wife. God says, heal the brokenhearted. In a different ways, and another time talking about how you heal. Different ways of healing the brokenhearted. Preach deliverance to the captive. People who have been hurt, molested, raped, captivated by fear, captivated by, I don't want another man in my life. I don't want another woman in my life. I don't want another preacher in my life. I don't want, captivated with all this intimidation and anger, anxiety. God has caused and called us as pastors, those who I'm speaking to on this Pastor's Appreciation Sunday, that God has called you to bring recovery to sight to the blind. And sometimes you got to expose what's blocking them as pastors, as ministers. Minister Charles, we got to expose sometimes things so they can see. Sometimes it takes putting them on blast in front of them. Let them see. Not all the time. Sometimes you can't put people on blast, but sometimes you have to. And the Bible says it's to set them at liberty to them that are bruised. Bruised. You got bruised. You need to set at liberty. And so a pastor has responsibility. The word appreciation. Now, this Pastor Appreciation Sunday, I love you, pastors. I love you, men and women of God. Yes. God has called men and women to preach his word. I know there's some group, egalitarians who don't believe in this. They just believe it's, you know, God calls women, he anoints them, but he don't call them to lead a man. But in the kingdom of God, Paul said there's no male or female. That's what Apostle Paul said. He says, we're all, and all Jew or Gentile, he says, we're all one in Christ. I didn't say that. The Apostle Paul said that. And so, as we appreciate you, the appreciation means to recognize, recognition. It means enjoyment of the good qualities of someone or something. To those who are out there and you got pastors, I say to our church, but also saying to other churches, people out there and you're listening to this gospel, you're listening to this message. I want to say to you that, that your pastors, they may have some faults. Everyone has faults. But thank God you got a shepherd. Recognize the good qualities. Recognize the not just the preaching of the word. Recognize that smile. Recognize that love. Pastors have preached so many funerals. I have a cousin that just passed yesterday, unexpectedly. I say this to somebody because you better love who you love now because you don't know what tomorrow brings. You don't know. My sister just talked to my cousin, our cousin. Just talked to her about a day or two ago. Okay, I'll call you back. They found her in the apartment. She slumped over, however they found her, she had died. Not COVID, just died. I don't know what, she died. We better appreciate who we have. Appreciate your pastors. Love them because you don't know if they're gonna still be here. You don't know if they're gonna be here tomorrow. And don't be crying, oh, my God. Listen, love your pastors, appreciate, recognize them. Appreciation means a fair valuation or estimate of merit, of worth, of weight, recognition of excellence. I recognize who your pastors are. Synonym for appreciation, valuing, respecting, cherishing, pricing, treasuring, admiring, regard, esteem. Listen, Pastor Appreciation Month is more than we got to raise $100. We got to raise $10,000. How do you appreciate your pastors? You got to appreciate them every week. Every week. Don't wait for, oh, I got to raise $1 million and we going through. Listen, when you give, listen, understand this principle. If you don't hear nothing, I say today, understand this principle. When you bless your pastors, God will bless you. If you don't hear nothing else, I say A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. If you don't hear nothing else, I say, understand one principle. When you bless the man and woman of God, who God has given to preach, to minister, to feed, to guide, to shepherd you, God will take care of you. I'm just telling you, I've experienced it. I'm not just saying it to our people. I'm saying it to everybody out there who's listening to this message. When you bless them, Bishop Errol Ward Benn, my prelate, we're celebrating him tonight. Or next week, or whenever we celebrate him. Whenever we celebrate him. Guess what? I bless him. Last year, I bless him. Okay? So that was about a couple of months ago. I think they had an appreciation service for him or something. We blessed him. Whenever we have a, we bless him because we love him. And so we value him. I value him. I value his love. I value the grace of God in his life. And so why do we do this? Move it up a little bit, Laisha. I'm almost done. Reason one. Why do we appreciate them? Because pastors and clergy serve the church daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly. I got up yesterday morning working on the message around maybe 7:30, 8 o'clock, Saturday morning. I finished maybe around, I actually started this message during the week, but I didn't complete it until yesterday morning up until maybe like 6 o'clock, or I'm sorry, about maybe about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's been hours, weeks, months, years. This is our what anniversary year? 28 years. You multiply that moment times a week, times a year, times a month, times 1 year, times 28 years. It's a lot of time. A pastor spends time serving the house of God, serving the people of God, serving God most of all, daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, preparing, teaching, preaching the word of God. Number two, pastors and clergy serve the community during life moments. My cousin asked me to do the funeral. I haven't done a funeral in a minute during COVID. She asked me to do the funeral. Holy Spirit gave me a release now. Do a funeral. I'm going to do the funeral. The Holy Spirit gave me the release to do the funeral. Not out of fear or intimidation of COVID-19. The Holy Spirit gave me the release to do the funeral. So I had to answer to God. Every pastor has to answer to God. And so Pastor Curtis served the community, the food pantry. Pastor Angie, working with the food pantry. It's more than what you see. We get email, text us every week. Okay, we got this. We're going to bring this. We got turkeys that's coming. She's at work. They send it to me. They send it to her. We talking. The hospital sending this. They sending that. Okay, you got to go get the truck. You got to go get this. Or who are we going to get? My help. I can't hardly do it, Pastor Angie, because my leg, I'm in therapy right now. Now I got to go begging people to come help me unload the truck. So it ain't just sitting down, just having a good time, sipping my tea, reading the Bible all day. That would be nice. No, we're working. We're ministering. And number three, clergy, pastors, sacrifice their comfort and safety for the gospel. We sacrifice it. Listen, and I heard Bishop Everett tell these stories too. He told a story one time, one of his members was missing in action. Didn't know where that person was. Somebody said they were in the bar. They were in the nightclub. Bishop Everett got some men and went there and took that person out of that nightclub. And people were in there, yo, man, what you in here for? You gonna get a drink? He said, no, I'm a pastor. I'm a child of God. I'm coming for so-and-so. And the person was so embarrassed. Mm. Pull me out of there. Out of the bar. I got a call 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. Hey, Pastor Carl, I need help right away. Some men out here, they gotta kill me. Help right away. Gotta kill you for what? Some men out here, they gotta kill me. I did something wrong to them. I did something wrong to them, he said. Can you come get me? I'm by the railroad tracks and so and so. I'm coming to get you. Are you stupid? How'd you get yourself in this problem? You know I love you. Why'd you do this? I've been telling you to get in the program for the longest. I'm ready now, Pastor. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm scared. I'm going to tell you right now, meet me over at the railroad track and don't come near until I tell you. When I flash my, you get in the car and shut up. I had to talk to him just like that. I wasn't nice. Praise the Lord, brother. How are you doing? No, I said, shut up. Get in the car. I'm taking you to a hotel tonight. Told the man hotel, if he moves out of this hotel, throw him out. If he comes out of that room If you get a visitor, throw him out. I'm paying for this. I told him who I was. And I said, in the morning, I'm coming back and you're going right to the program. Stayed right there in the morning and took him to the program. I loved him. Man, just came out of jail. I was new. I think it was a year or two in ministry. Just came out of jail. I was ministering to him. This is a different person, but we had just started. It got to be about 33 years ago, 34 years ago. And maybe 24 years ago. And here, just coming out of jail, I've been ministering to him all this time doing while he was in jail. So I said, let me bring him to my house. He got nowhere to go. He just got out of jail. I said, no problem. My wife, they were all terrible. I asked her at first, and she said, oh, yeah, I guess it's all right. But she really, no, I should have been the man enough to stand up and say, no, you can't come here. I put you in a hotel somewhere. So they came to the house, and our kids, they were terrified. They were like, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. They closed their room, locked the door, put things on top. They were just terrified. Nothing happened that day, but the next morning, I took them to the barbershop, and he violated the ordinances that the judge had given me custody over him that we agreed upon. And so he went to a liquor store and got something and violated my trust. Trying to get him into an alcohol program, he's going to go in the liquor store. Well, I had to throw him out. And I also had to repent because I should have never brought him to my house. Mm-hmm. Put my family at danger. Sometimes we do some stuff that's stupid. Come on. That was stupid. That was foolish. I ain't going to talk about nobody else, but that was me, man. That was on me. Put you in a hotel. Come on. I've done it before. I had a friend that called me. I ain't seen in 30 years. And we were close. We were like cut buddies. They called, man. I need some help, man. I mean, can you put me up? I said, look, where you at? I called him. He called me and met him down in Newark, off the street somewhere. I said, yo, man, how you doing, man? He's like, oh, man. But it wasn't the same. He was all drugged up, smoked up, streeted up. I had to think about that twice. No, I ain't bringing you to my house. We're going to go down to this hotel right here. Said, oh, you going to put me up? I said, ain't no problem, bro. I'll put you up for two nights. Put him up for a couple of nights. He was good to go. Pastor, sometimes we put ourselves, and nobody's making an announcement about this. Some of you pastors out there, you did things and you sacrificed your comfort and safety to help somebody else. But I want to say to you, Lisha, you can remove everything off the screen now. Thank you. Unshare that. I want to encourage your pastors as I close. Pastors out there, pastors all over the world, in the United States, North, East, South, and West, I want to encourage you to keep on preaching the word. Keep on ministering the word. This pastor's appreciation month, we love you pastors. We love you. We love our pastors. We love you. We want to let you know that most of all, God loves you. And I want you to be encouraged. Everything that you say and do, be encouraged. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Be encouraged. Fight the good fight of faith. Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, fight. Fight. Devil hit you? That's all right. Be steadfast. Huh? 1 Corinthians 15:58. Bible says, Paul said, therefore, my beloved brother, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. But that work is hard, man. I don't see no results. But the latter part of that verse says that your labor be not in vain, that your labor is not done in vain. It's not going to be in vain. Every one of y'all of you who are preaching and studying the word of God, preparing the word of God, myself also, I encourage Pastor Angie. She just loves the Lord. We got to keep preaching. We got to keep teaching. We got to keep ministering that word. And so I thank God for the opportunity to minister this word. And I'm praying for pastors right now. Join me, church, as we close this moment of this message and as we pray for our pastors and ministers all over the world, in Jesus' name. Father, in your gracious name, we thank you that you are God, and above you there is none, no other. You sit high and look down low. We're your people and the sheep of your pasture. We can only do what you called us to do, oh God. Nothing more, nothing less. But God, as your servant, as your servants, as your people, we hold up the pastors and ministers all over the world who are preaching and teaching the word of God. Your words, especially those who uphold the word and doctrine. God, I pray for them that you will strengthen them, that your word fail not, that they will feel encouraged, Father, at the end of the conclusion of this program, that they will know that you are with them, that you've anointed them, that you've called them, and you have purpose for them. You have purpose for them. You have purpose for them. And it's not over. It's not over. It's not over. God, touch my brothers, touch my sisters. And Lord, no matter what their nationalities are, no matter where they live, how much money they have or how much money they don't have, no matter what type side of the equator they live on, God, touch your servants, your people, your preachers, your ministers, your apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, and your bishops. Touch them, evangelists, oh God, that they not fail. Evangelist has the longest reach because they reach people that pastors cannot reach. Touch those evangelists. Raise up evangelists that they will continue to preach your word and teach your word and evangelize the world, evangelize my community, evangelize your community, evangelize everything that's out there. And Father, we bless you today that you will touch those pastors and ministers who are sick in their body. Oh God, going through all kinds of infirmities, oh God, all kinds of sicknesses. And God, but they're holding on. God, strengthen them right now. Give them the miracle that they need. Father, I pray for miracles. Every man and woman of God out there. Every man and woman. I pray for my prelate, Bishop Elroy Ben. God, that you'll continue to strengthen him, continue to love him, continue to build him up when it seems like no one else is following. Let him know that you're guiding. When no one else is following, let him know that you're guiding and you're guiding him and you're guiding him and that you're with him, that you're with him. Yes. Strengthen him, Dr. Dolores Ben. Encourage their hearts, Father, as they work together, as they do your will. Every pastor who delivers Jesus coming, fellowship of churches, I pray for Overseer Vanessa. God, I know her heart hurts and aches. Loss of her husband, but God, strengthen your servant, strengthen this woman of God. Courage your heart. Courage every pastor, Pastor Haran, Pastor Robinson, Pastor Patrick, oh God, Pastor Miller, oh God, Pastor Cedric Miller, oh God, Pastor Dunn down in Florida, oh God, Pastor Robert Tucker, oh God, Pastor Charles Morgan, oh God, Pastor in Ohio, Marcus Martin and his lovely wife, bless them, oh God. Give them understanding. Give them their heart's desire. Bless their finances. Bless their work of their hands. Bless their ministry, oh God. Bless their children and grandchildren. Bless all the pastors. I missed another pastor in our association. Overseer Eric Kelly. Overseer Bellamy, oh God. Pastor Farrington. Who else in our association? Bishop Grooms, Bishop Brasher, excuse me. Bless them, oh God. Strengthen them. All the ministers and elders, oh God. Elder Hardy, oh God. All over the world, all over the city, all over the states, oh God. Pastor Bryant Randolph, oh God. Passing of his senior pastor, oh God. Give Pastor Bryant Randolph the strength, the wisdom, and knowledge to do your will and your purpose, oh God. Every pastor, Pastor Davis. Oh, yes. God, at Calvary Stephen Gospel. B. Stephen B. Davis. Dr. Yes. Stephen B. Davis. Touch him. Yes.
Pastor Marcus Bond. Bishop Marcus Bond.
Yes. Every pastor. If you know a pastor's name, just call his name out. Excuse me. Just call their name out. If you know a pastor's name. Every pastor, God.
Yes, Lord. Every bishop.
Every bishop, every leader. Mm-hmm. Give them your wisdom. Give them your knowledge. Encourage their hearts in Jesus' name. God, I pray for those who are hearing this message, God. If they don't know you, Father, I pray that as we conclude this broadcast, as we conclude this service, yes, that they'll come to know you and that they'll ask you for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. That they ask you to come into their heart and save them and forgive them all their sins. Thank you, and fill them, oh God. Fill them with your love. Fill them with your grace.
Yes, God.
Lead them to a church. Lead them to a ministry. We invite them, even while we're still on virtual, to join us.
Yes,
Lord. To join us, oh God, in every service. That they'll be blessed by the word. That they'll be strengthened and edified. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' precious name. Yes, I pray for the young folks, Brother Etienne. I pray for Brother Garvin.
Yes, Lord.
Asia Holt Harris, oh God, I pray for Asia. I pray for Tangia, okay. I pray for Laisha. I pray for Manzo, oh God, and Kavi, oh God, Elijah and Tim. I pray for Jarrell, oh God, Jarrell. Yes, you're still working with Jarrell. Yes, bring him in. Break the yokes.
Yes, Lord.
Destroy the yokes
yes,
that has been binding him in Jesus'
in
name.
Jesus' name.
God, every child, oh God, every one, brother, oh God, you haven't forgotten, oh God. Oh God, Felucio George, oh God, Felucio George,
Jones brother.
The Jones brother, oh God, Dwayne, God, touch brother Dwayne, oh God, all the children, all the families, oh God, the Harris family, oh God, the Holt Dixon family, oh God, the Timmerman family, oh God, the Perry family, touch, oh God, brother Kenneth. Oh, God, Brother Kenneth, oh, God, going through this cancer. Oh, God, you are God, and you, God, you will comfort him. Oh, God, send the Holy Spirit to comfort him. Mm-hmm. God, let him know that you haven't forgotten him, God. Let him know that you're able to heal and deliver. Jesus. No matter what the cancer is, God, you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Touch their bodies, oh, God, yes, in Jesus' name. Strengthen and encourage the bereaved families, oh, God, my cousin. Oh, God, Danielle, who lost her mom, oh, God,
Jesus.
Lost her mom yesterday. Didn't have time to say goodbye, but Lord God, touch Danielle, oh, God, touch her, oh, God, as she's preparing.
Yes.
God, give me the words to speak, the words to say to comfort her when we speak again.
Yes,
we pray for all those who are going through arrangements right now, God, that you'll give them wisdom, give them knowledge, oh, God, insight.
Mm-hmm.
On what to do, oh God, give them resources, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Open up everything that needs to be opened, oh God. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. We honor you. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Come on, give God praise right now, right where you at. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I pray that the word of God has blessed you. I pray that you are encouraged in the Lord. I pray that you're strengthened by the word. I don't know about you, but I'm encouraged with the word. The word is powerful. The Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So I thank God for the word. Thank God for the opportunity to minister the word. And I pray that the pastors, you'll be encouraged during this Pastor Appreciation Day in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to get ready to bless the Lord in our giving. I pray that as you have heard the word and that you are obedient to God, that you'll continue to bless the house of God, the people of God, as we go forth. If you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, please go on your Cash App, $AGATChurch. That's $AGAT Church. You can just go ahead and be a blessing to the ministry. Also, if you'd like to mail it to us, it's right on your screen. You can send it to Agat Church. Write your check or money order out to AGAT Church, 26 Walnut Street, Teaneck, New Jersey, 07666, USA. Those who are members of our church, don't forget to give your tithes and offerings. Amen. That the work of God can continue. Amen. And over and above, your tithes and offering is not a gift to pastor. It's not a love gift. It's your tithes and offering. If you want to be a blessing to Bishop Carl, you can always be a blessing to Bishop Carl. I have a Cash App. You can send it to our Cash App whenever you get a chance. If you call me or text me, I'll give you my Cash App. But thank you, each and every one of you, for joining us. You can go on our website, agatchurch.org, and you get more information. Elijah, that's fine right there. And so, look, I pray that you are blessed today. I pray the word touch you and encourage your heart. And until we meet again, may you walk in the love and in the grace of God. Those of you on Facebook, those who are on podcasts, listen, God loves you. I love you, but more so, God loves you. Walk in the love of God. Walk in the grace of God, and he will strengthen you. He will encourage your heart. And he will do everything that he needs to do to move you forward and to be a blessing to you. like the late R.W. Shamak would always say, you don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. You don't have any troubles. All you need is faith in God. Thank you, Facebook family. Thank you, God, for the podcast family. Thank you for joining us. Until we meet again, you be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.